Whoa, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. Whoa, 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 yeah, 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 yeah.
To die, me and those dream eyes of mine
started to cry more than a dream. Wishing my fantasy soon become a reality.
Cause every time I see you, baby,
all I do is sigh. Cause you're the most precious thing, baby.
What's up, everybody? Hope everybody had a great weekend as we go into Thanksgiving and folks are thinking about the things that they're thankful for. I'm going to just jump right into this podcast. So happy to be on and talking with folks tonight. So I knew that I was doing this podcast a long time ago. I've been getting a lot of questions around, you know, folks are like, hey, so who's your audience? Like, who do you do your podcast to? Or when you write Huffington Post articles, who are you writing to? And I just thought about that, and I thought about what that meant and how we needed to, that needed to be defined or whatever, and it just got me thinking. And so it was like, the questions that I heard from other people was like, are you like worried about offending folks? Like, who are you trying to reach? Who you think's listening? And I just really like reflected on that. And I'm a real person. And when I was a child, I thought wearing suits was a white thing. And I know it's like, why? Where is that coming from? We just asked who his audience was. But I'm going to tell you why, like, I speak the way I speak and the way I, and the reason why I approach this podcast the way I approach it. So, like, I thought that wearing suits was a white thing. I thought that most things associated with success were white, and then not necessarily white, because I saw people that weren't white being successful, but I would say otherness. So the only like examples of success that I saw was of people that didn't look like me. They didn't talk like me, they didn't walk like me, they didn't dress like me. So therefore I just associated success with that whiteness or otherness. We can call it otherness. The only time I saw folks that represented me that were successful, it were like athletes or rappers or drug dealers. And like, I know that that's fast becoming a cliche, but cliches become cliches by having a long history of being true or happening, which leads to people mentioning it over and over. And that's how you get to cliches, because a lot of urban folks from the hood, ain't necessarily gotta be black, but they always talk about like not seeing themselves being represented. And it's like either basketball or rapping or selling drugs or something like that. So, but that was true for me too. That's what I saw. That's what success was for me. And so, like, Allen Iverson was an extremely captivating hero for me. He wore a do-rag. I had a do-rag. Like, I loved hip-hop. He loved hip-hop. His voice didn't change during interviews. It didn't change depending on who he was speaking to. And even though I didn't know him, like, I knew him. He was familiar to me. Now, the truth of the matter is there's only one Allen Iverson. I dumped years into playing ball and just working out, but it just went written in the stars for me. I mean, I was a decent player, but I was for damn sure not an Allen Iverson. You see, like, being a great NBA player is a statistical needle in the haystack. But Charles Cole, the third, now that's very doable. And so here's why, and I'm going to just be real honest, man. Like, that's the one reason why I really love this podcast. I'm going to be really honest and unfiltered with y'all, and hopefully it makes sense. It will for somebody. Like, I'm from the slums, yo. Like, I'm from the poorest parts of this country with felon drug-addicted parents that's used, like, I've lived in more homeless shelters than actual relationships. Like, real talk, like, deep committed relationships. I've lived in more shelters than I've had of those, right? Like, I came to California with an accent crazy heavy and my English so broken that I had to learn how to properly maneuver my mouth just so you could understand me. I remember being pulled out of class and working on how to move my mouth so I could say words. So when I said hair or pure, it didn't come out as her or purr when I said it. Like, that was something that I really worked on when I got here. I still have this practice of saying everything in my head first and then saying it. Like, it happens kind of instantaneous. It happens in milliseconds so people don't notice it. But that's a real practice of mine. I was a loner going to, damn near 10 elementary schools. Like, that'll do it to you. I've never enjoyed or wanted a bunch of friends, and I still don't now. I've made a ton of mistakes in my life, and many of my friends have sold drugs and ended up dead, and just a lot of different stuff, man. Like, I haven't preserved certain friendships that I probably should have preserved. I haven't always, like, even when I was in those few relationships, been the best boyfriend. I've been hurt. I've hurt people. I've been somebody that's, like, gotten really frustrated with family members that he, like, took care of. And you've heard that in other podcasts. Like, I'm a very, flawed dude. Like, it happens. Like, I'm a real person. I have multiple degrees, and I was I'll talk more about that, but, like, I'll go deeper into that. I mean, I worked really hard for those things. But that flawed individual that come from the slums didn't necessarily stop that. It could have a lot. Like, I was addicted to adrenaline and pretty girls, partially because I was a really scrawny kid with big glasses and hand-me-down clothes. Like, for real. Totally didn't expect to get attractive in college, or that's what folks said when I had a big head, man. Like, my head was still big, but I, like, grew into it. If you see a picture of me as a little, like, small kid, yo, I was a weird looking. It's cute now. It's like, oh, that's a cute little alien kid. But my head was, like, extremely big, man, with, like, these big old thick glasses. The swag was extremely lacking in my life. I remember my pops, like, got these shoes for me, yo. They was like, yo, it was like some pink shoes. I was in, like, the third grade. It's like, man, I can't wear these shoes to school. Like, why would you get me? I think my aunt got them for me or something. It's like, why would you give me those shoes? And she was like, well, the people said they was unisex. That was the first time I heard unisex. I said, Auntie, I don't know if you're supposed to be talking to me like that, but these shoes is pink, damn it. Yeah, that's what I was dealing with, yo. Like that, and I lived in a house, I had to wear the shoes, but I'm telling you. So when a brother got to college and, like, girls started to pay attention, your boy didn't know how to act, is what I'm saying, is what I'm trying to get with you on. Pink shoes. I guess I'm traumatized by that, y'all. But I didn't expect that. Like, and then when I was in college, we talk about these multiple degrees. Like, I took out a bunch of loans that I couldn't afford then or now. And I struggled all the way through. I struggled on every single degree that I got. Even now in my professional life, and I've had a lot of professional successes, it still takes me longer to do simple tasks that my colleagues just do naturally. Like, I'm in that office till 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night sometimes doing things that shouldn't take me that long. Like, I'm not a genius, not gifted. And I think that the reason why I say that is not a put down. I'm a very confident person. But what happens, especially in my culture with black boys and black men, is, like, we can't see success a lot of the time. So when we do see somebody that's successful, say, like, a Hill Harper, it's like, oh, he's different. He's different. And it's like, nah, man, like, I, Charles Cole, am not different. I am not different from you. Like, I had to work really, really hard. And it took a lot of work to get there. And I don't even know if I'm there yet. I wouldn't say that. You asked me where I am on success. I'll tell you, I'm not all that successful at all. Some folks may think that's disrespectful because of some of the things that I've accomplished and been able to do. But, like, that's real, man. Like, that's... like, it was a real struggle. Like, I work extremely hard. And so, like, I'm the same poor kid, like, that's just, that's from the hood, man, that didn't know on Tuesday where he'd be sleeping on Wednesday sometime. And a ton of kids won't ever be able to be Iverson. It just isn't statistically possible. There's only one Allen Iverson. There's only one guard under 6 foot that's like one of the leading all-time scorers in basketball history. But you can be a Charles Cole. Like, you can be a W. Kamau Bell. Like, man, even on some level, like somebody like a Chris Rock, and I mean, not one, maybe you can't be the top comedian in the world or whatnot, but like, I mean, his story is just an inspiring story. Like, he didn't even make it out of high school. And he's one of like this country's like just national treasures. And so, like, when I get asked about my audience and who I write these things for, who I do these podcasts for, man, I do it, it's for me. Like, it's for, like, I speak and write to what I wish I had seen as a child. Success that wasn't consumed in otherness. Something that I couldn't touch. Something that I couldn't be. Something I couldn't breathe. Like, there's a kid that has my exact same experience. Even worse. You know how I know? Because I've consistently worked with those kids over the last 10 years of my career. I've seen so many cases of young people that's going through like the same stuff, yo. Whose parents are on the same type of stuff. Whose siblings are on like the same type of stuff. Who they losing friends in the streets. They might be awkward. Maybe they like some loners. Maybe they got a bunch of friends. Who knows? But every time they look on like a TV or the conventional means of media, they not seeing themselves represented in positive ways. So when I do this podcast, like, I speak the same way I speak to you if you was in my living room. My HuffPost articles are basically letters that I'd write to a student or family members of mine. Like, that's just who I am. And that's what I try to give you. Like, I comment on drugs a lot in these podcasts, yo. Like, man, drugs played a huge role in my life. You call it a family member, yo. Like, watching my parents' addiction, like, molded me in a lot of ways. So I talk about it. I don't have an issue, like, going there. Because it was something very real for me. And it's very real for a bunch of people in this country. I was just watching something while I was preparing to do this podcast. Like, I was having like a nice little drink. I was chilling. And I think it was on NBC. And it was talking about how heroin is just really coming back. And it's at its cheapest and most potent form ever. Like, drugs are here, man. And I got opinions. Like, I don't care how folks feel about it. Like, I'm not a PC dude. I got strong opinions. And you can do podcasts and say whatever you want. Like, I'm just not a PC guy. I think America's getting soft. It's softer with no sense of humor. And we can no longer let kids lose in sports. Like, that's disgusting to me. What you mean there's no score being kept? Because he'll get low self-esteem. But wait, losing, like, builds character. You're going to lose more in life than you're going to win. That's what makes winning so good. It's soft, man. And maybe my kids will if I ever have kids, but there'll be a certain level of privilege they have because of my education and because of the access that I have and things like that. But I didn't have white privilege to fall back on. So, like, I had to learn how to lose and build character and dust myself off and keep going. Man, I know a lot of little whiny kids that when things don't go their way, they just complain and get things changed for folks. And I just think that in this country, by not allowing kids to lose and actually build character when they 8 and 9, has an impact. I think it's disgusting to me. I think we live in an inherently racist society. I mean, look at how we disrespect our president daily. And I know that, I mean, there's a lot of jokes that Bush got, but he didn't get blatant disrespect. He didn't have the Secret Service not doing their job for him. He didn't have folks just, instead of calling him President Obama, just like officials and governors calling him Barack and like they homies. It's just the disrespect level is just crazy. But every time you say that, you being a sensitive black dude, that's what's up. I'm a lot of things. I don't know if that's one of them, but I mean, that's fine. Like, we condemn black culture daily, whether it's how to discipline our kids or murdering innocent black boys. Like, you got white folks telling black people how to, like, discipline their kids, man. It's just real interesting to me. Now, I don't condone just beating your kid. Like, child abuse is child abuse. But I think a father disciplining his child or... I just think you got some audacity telling me how I'm a disciplining kids in my house. Like, in my house, there just will be no door slamming. I'm sorry. There would be no, mom, give me my space. What space? You don't have space. When you get a job and you paying rent, then you got space. But you don't have a space. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to allow a child to do that. And I'm not going to allow somebody in a different culture than mine to tell me what I should be doing with my kid when every time I go to the supermarket, man, I'm seeing like, I see little white kids like yelling at their parents, like cursing them out, yo. Man, look, you way past the timeout, little homie. I can't cave your chest in this store no more because I go to jail, but you know what? We gonna figure something out because this ain't gonna work. Somebody was like, I don't condone public humiliation of kids and I don't condone public humiliation of a parent. Sorry, but, you know, it is what it is. I ain't got no kids yet. But maybe it's the way I was raised. Well, it is the way I was raised. And I don't know. Maybe that is wrong. Who knows? Dude, it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. Or we can talk about the way that murdering innocent black boys, and I done seen more dead black boys on trial then I would care to see. It's like, yeah, Trayvon Martin was like they don't come out and just say he was a thug. They show pictures of him, like, and they say stuff like he smoked weed. Man, what? Because he smoked weed? He's just the worst person. Look, president smoked weed too. I think he did a little cocaine too. I don't know. I know the one before him did, definitely. I've smoked marijuana in my life. It's happened. I'm not a weed head. I actually didn't really enjoy the experience. I was much younger. It's happened. I did a lot of stupid stuff, actually, that if I was held to that same type of standard where I could die, I probably wouldn't be here. Does he deserve to die? This Mike Brown thing, did he deserve to die, yo? It's like, yeah, but he, like, stole some Swishers. I don't know if he stole Swishers or not. Did he deserve to like end up with a bullet in him and then be left out there for hours? Is that what's up? This is an inherently racist society, and I'm not exempt either. Like I just said, when I see white like kids cursing out their parents, I'm judging. I don't mean to. It is just my racist tendency. You can call it what you want. I don't hate white people. But that is a racial stereotype of like, yeah, white folks can't control their kids. There have been things that I have seen that has informed my like snap judgment and opinion on that. So, I mean, if we're going to be honest and have like real, like that's, I do this podcast so we can have real conversations about these things. Like real conversations. I don't think I'm racist. I think there's a bunch of white folks that say a lot of crazy stuff. And I wouldn't necessarily say they're racist. I think they're racial tendencies. I think we all have racial. Let me use an I statement. That's something that I've learned from Dominic Coach. Let me use an I statement. I have racial, sexist, ageist, ableist tendencies. Whatever other ist you want to like put in there, you definitely can. I got tendencies of all that stuff. Unlearning those things takes time, man. So, like, when I have these conversations and the way I speak and the way I engage people and the things I talk about and the things that I write about, like, I want to show people a true depiction of a person. I am not an angel. And I want to show these kids that, like, you don't necessarily have to be. Like, you don't, like, it's hard enough to change perception, especially in the hood. I had a lot of perceptions. I have a lot of perceptions that I'm working on. Like, for instance, it just was like, yo, that cheese stinks. That's some stuff white folks do. And then, you know what? I tried smoked Gouda, and smoked Gouda was damn good. And I enjoyed it. Somebody opened up my world to something new that I had never experienced before, and I was grateful. Like, I didn't like sushi as a kid. I thought that was like, look, these people tripping. I love sushi now. Spicy tuna rolls, yo. You give me some of those, we like homies. I like spicy salmon too. Let's do it. Like, in these podcasts and, like, when I go and I do these speeches and, like, I dress and talk a way that when those kids see it, it's familiar to them. And it's like, yo, man, he, like, talk like I do. That's what, I want to be the Allen Iverson of this for somebody else. I've been blessed to be able to do that for a few kids, and that makes it all worth it. So, everybody don't like you because of it. Some folks are scared of you. I still scare white people at times. It happens. But they don't say I'm scared of you. They be like, oh, that was really aggressive. You sound aggressive. Or are you angry? Nah, man, I'm not angry. I'm not going to punch you, man. Like, I just disagree with you. And I'm passionate about the way I'm disagreeing with you right now. I didn't disrespect you. But if somebody from a different department that looks different than I do, says the same thing, possibly in the exact same way, you just see it as a general disagreement. Like, we gotta start being honest, man. So, like, I don't know where I am, like, not for the folks that made it, like, but for those kids that have never seen images of themselves being successful. You being successful doesn't mean, like, I still listen to hip hop, man. Whether folks like what I listen to or not. Give me something with Eminem. Give me something with Nas and Jay-Z. Like, 3,000. I'm good. I come into the office with some big old headphones on every day. You know when Charles is leaving and coming. Because you see them big old headphones. And you hear, like, you probably hear that music from as I'm walking down the hallway. Because that's who I am. I don't censor what I listen to for those people. I mean, I won't be disrespectful and, like, have, like, offensive music out in the open to where it would, like, bother people. Because, trust me, a lot of music I listen to is crazy, crazy offensive. But, nah, man, that's who I am. That's what I do. Like, I ain't for everybody, man. I'm good with that. I'm straight with that. But I owe it to, man, like, where I came from and how I grew up. And this ain't some old, like, victim stuff, man. Like, I'm definitely not a victim. I went through the things I went through. It made me who I am, the same way you went through what you went through. And I wouldn't trade it. Just in the way I grew up, I ended up going to most funerals than I did weddings, all right? The way I came up, I saw, like, situations where there was baby mamas and baby daddies, and I didn't see too many marriages that worked. And the ones that I did, my parents still married. It was highly dysfunctional. The things that I saw, maybe it's more functional now. I don't know. I don't be in their business like that. I don't always cry at funerals or cry when I see death. It's just what I've become accustomed to. I believe in, like, speaking up, man, and standing up for people that can't stand up for themselves. Sometimes you just got to fight for folks. Sometimes you just got to fight for yourself. So I want to try and get all like uber serious on this podcast. I just really wanted to address that. Because there's this undertone, there's this notion that in order to be black and successful, a black young man successful in this country, that you have to change everything about who you are. You have to change your identity. And I don't subscribe to that. Even at work. Like, I try to be like an honest dude. Like, like if I don't rock with you, I just don't rock with you. And you know it. Like, you, for the most part, people that work with me can be like, nah, I pretty much know where I stand with him. I'm not disrespectful on it. And I try to do my work well. Like, and just because you're successful don't mean that, like, your other problems go away. Like I said, I'm still trying to pay Sallie Mae back. Them school loans is real. I've had relationships with women, like, not go well. So much, in fact, that I've been single for a minute. I mean, that may change. I mean, that will probably change really soon. But, like these things, man, like, these are the things that make you who you are. Like, these learned and shared experiences. And all I know is that I didn't have a bunch of people to relate to as I was navigating this world, as I was trying to figure out what place I had or where I stood as I tried to grow in my career and grow in my education. So I became the thing that I wish that I saw. And if don't nobody fool me except for like one kid, where it's like, nah, man, that's dope. I see a way. I see a pathway. And so be it. I ain't supposed to be here no way. And I'm not supposed to be here anyway. This is house money. This is house money. There's so many things that's happened in my life to where I was supposed to get dropped off. I've shared this, I think, maybe with like two people in my life. But I'll share it here because I think it's relevant. I'm so used to things not working out, to things not going the way that they're supposed to, is that when I got my master's degree in public administration from San Francisco State. My MSW was, I have an MSW exception through a different program. I don't really count that because it was like this accelerated thing. But I got my MPA from San Francisco State. I've never celebrated that. And the reason why I never celebrated is because most of the things in my life that I thought were going to go right, like something happened and it didn't. I remember when my family, like, they bought a house. They got a house. They didn't buy it, but they got a house in Warm Springs. And we went out and we picked out rooms and what that was going to look like and talked about the schools that we was going to go to. And then the deal didn't happen. Or in a relationship, like, years ago, and it's like, oh, we planning this big trip. Putting this stuff down and like putting this money down and figuring out what that's going to look like, planning it, and it didn't go. Started a business with a homie, put a bunch of money into it, a bunch of blood, sweat, and tears, learned a lot, and it was supposed to be set to blow, and it just didn't pan out. Or it's like, yo, we don't have to deal with these like social workers no more. Like, you know, things is going cool and the family pops finally got together. We're going to be in this new apartment. Was in that spot for 3 months, had to move again. Like, I'm just so used to like things not panning out the way they're supposed to pan out. That's subconsciously, it's like, well, man, what's going to happen with this degree? Like, are they going to, like, come take this? Am I going to be waiting on the diploma? And it's like, oh, well, you owe this much money. Or actually, you know, you didn't pass that last test. Or you didn't pass that last class. And you're not even aware of how those things kind of affect you. And you just, like, you're just so used to the rug being able to be pulled from up under you. Like, I didn't even end up celebrating that. I've never celebrated that degree. It just never happened. Not even so much as a dinner. I wouldn't even let people congratulate me on it until I had the paper. And, you know, the paper don't come for like months later. And then once the paper finally came, it was like, ah, it's kind of stupid to have like a celebration now. Now, that may not be the majority of folks' experiences that's listening right now. It may not be yours. But I know so many kids, man, that's hopes have just been thwarted, just been dashed over and over and over again, that have that feeling, that don't have that hope. And over the last 10 plus years of my career and of my life and the things that I've dedicated myself to doing, like, I've worked with those people and helped to restore that feeling, and like telling them that they deserve good things to have happen to them. Telling them that it's not luck when something goes right in their life, that hard work can definitely pay off. Sometimes it doesn't, and it's not fair, but the world isn't made up of fairness. Like, that's why this type of podcast and these discussions exist. And if you can't rock with it, then don't. Don't. I'm good. I'm not trying to be like pick a fight with the people that's listening. Not at all. I got a lot of love for y'all. But if it ain't for you, that's fine. Because my entire life, most of the things in this world have not been for me. And I had to deal with it. So you can too. With that being said, I will be in Rhode Island from January 15th to January 19th. Giving two keynotes and then doing a panel while I'm out there with city officials and leaders in Woonsocket. They are trying to prevent a Ferguson-type situation, and we will be honoring the great Dr. Martin Luther King. Got to get those speeches ready to go. I will also be back in my hometown of Chicago between Christmas and New Year's, and in between that trip, my hope is to travel to Paducah, Kentucky, to visit the headstone of my grandmother, the woman who helped raise me in my early years. My favorite woman in the entire world, the one of the only people that I'm worried about disappointing. So hopefully, if the weather permits, I'll be able to either rent a car or take a train to Kentucky to see her. While I'm on my Chicago trip, and then just some other travel stuff. I'm back on a speaking tour, man. My knee is functional enough that I can travel and do those things. So that means you'll start to see more articles come back out that aligns with some of the things that I'm talking about. And I might even just turn this into an article. I don't know. But I appreciate you all, the folks that do listen. Thank you very much. I do hope that there's something that you get out of it. And I hope that you don't think that I'm just trying to push folks away, because that's definitely not what that is. But I like to be honest and tell y'all where I'm at with stuff. So with that being said, God bless, good night, and I will see y'all next week. Cole out. Peace.
That a boy would be born unto a family in the slums. This boy would go on to use the knowledge he gained while fighting for survival in his streets to become a great leader. And in time, that boy would grow to become King!